97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with my co-host, Bo Matthews.
How you doing, Tony?
Great to see you, my friend. And producer Chad Ellis.
Hello, hello.
Who never surprises me with the music.
I'm surprised every time.
I am a, I'm not afraid to say this, I'm a big George Michaels fan.
Wham?
Well, not as much Wham. You know what it was? I watched a documentary about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. I think it was HBO, maybe. Anyway, somebody did a documentary about him, and I didn't realize all of the records he set, all of the hits that he had, especially how popular he was over in the UK.
Right, right.
And, oh my gosh, it was a fascinating documentary, and I respect him a lot more after watching that. I mean, I obviously was familiar with his music, but dang, I didn't realize he accomplished so much.
And so many of his songs are what they call earworms, where it just gets stuck in your head. You wake up on a Saturday and you're like, why do I have Wham in my head?
Right. Right.
And then you got to listen to the whole thing. But I'm a huge fan too. He was big in the 80s.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And went global. I mean, he's a global name.
Yep. He was one of those guys at MTV. You know, like launched, you know, when MTV first started, and they kind of made some superstars out of pop stars in the 80s, buddy. Because it was the first time that, you know, they had that type of, television exposure, and he was one of those guys. So
sang his ass off.
This is exactly why people tune in to Second Amendment Radio.
That's exactly right. Music reviews from the early 80s and 90s.
Thank you for tuning in to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We have a great show on tap for you. In just a moment, we'll talk to our friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. He joins us at the beginning of every show. We're also going to talk to State Rep Nick Schroer today and get the latest on what is happening in Jeff City. There's a lot of politics to talk about this week, and both nationally and locally, and we're going to get some of that local update from Nick Schroer. And we're going to talk to Bob Lecrone. I hope I'm saying that name right. We'll find out in a little bit, from the ECA Gun Show in Belleville, which is coming up here in a couple weeks. Going to be a great event.
Yeah, next weekend, actually. Yeah.
Next weekend, there you go. And looking forward to talking to Bob about that cool upcoming event. And let's go ahead and get Aaron into the discussion right now. Like I said, there is a lot of politics, a lot of news to talk, both locally and nationally, and that is definitely what Aaron Tarlow specializes in. Aaron, great to talk with you, my friend. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I am well. I wanted to talk to you about many things today, but I thought you were one of the first people I thought of last week after the South Carolina primary, and Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar drop out of the race and start endorsing Joe Biden. And then who else is standing on stage with Joe Biden all of a sudden? Beto O'Rourke. Mr. I'm going to go door to door and collect the ARs from the American citizens. We're going to go knock on people's doors and take their guns away.
Maybe they won't even knock.
I thought he was done. I thought he was, I thought he had the bad, he had the loser stink on him, and nobody would want to have him around. But Joe Biden is embracing Beto O'Rourke, and he's embracing this gun, this severe gun grabby format, platform, I guess, if you
mentality.
Want to call it. Yeah, mentality. Yeah. There you go. And I thought we'd kind of gotten away from that, but that seems to be back front and center for the Democrats. What do you think about the state of the race right now? And, you know, it's always good to remind people, if the Democrats take control, it could be a very bad thing for your Second Amendment rights.
Well, first of all, crazy Uncle Joe thinks he's running for Senate.
On Super Thursday.
Oh, no.
So, not even concerned about the guy. I think he's slipping mentally. I think there's something going on there. Every time I turn around, he's making some kind of verbal slip. And I'm like, has this guy got dementia? You know, has he got part-timers? Like, what's going on? And now Bloomberg's out of the race. He was, I think, somebody to watch because he was going to, I think in a lot of people's opinion, he was going to buy it. But now you got crazy Uncle Joe, who's getting endorsed by everybody. And it's like, you know, the guy wants to make policy with people that are dead. You know,
it's funny you say that, because on the Glover show I heard this past week, they were talking about dementia, Alzheimer's possibilities, early signs, whatever. And online, I actually saw a comment that says, it was a lady that says she was a nurse. She works with Alzheimer's and dementia patients all the time. And she says he definitely needs to be evaluated. And it's like, wow, they are just really putting the fire behind his campaign for him to be the lead candidate at this point. And then he picks a guy like Beto O'Rourke. I'm like, game over.
Yeah.
I mean, never tell you, you know, never over till it's over, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, and he does, you know, I mean, it's a horrible disease. And my family, everybody pretty much in my family has had it when they've gotten into their 80s, definitely in their 90s. Like, my grandmother has it now. And it is just one of those things that I see the parallel there, and I'm like, wow, this is not good. What's he going to be like in 4 years? What's he going to be like in 2 years? And I've just seen that, the progression with my grandmother, where there's days that she doesn't recognize me, and I say, really look at me and tell me if you recognize me. And then, you know, she will. And it just starts with, like, you know, simple things. I'll give you an example. One day, they were angry. My grandparents were angry because it starts at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, and they were like, "That's bull. You know, it's never live." And I'm like, "They're like, and right there, that proves it." And I'm like, "It's called time zones." And as soon as I said that, they were like, "Oh yeah, you're right." And I'm like, "Okay, is everybody all right?" You know, it was just the little slippages in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And
Joe Biden is the youngest person still in the
remaining
ring.
Yeah. And you know, I asked myself, because if average retirement age is like 67, they say, if you're 78, why do you even care?
Yeah.
I mean, not that you're going anywhere. I'm not saying my grandmother, I have a lot of family members live into their 90s, but I'm like, at 78, I want to be fishing. I want to be chasing women at the nursing home, or what, you know, whatever the case is. I don't want to be leading the free world, especially if I don't have all my, you know, marbles in there.
Yeah, they're
not going
to be making changes that they are not even going to be alive to see.
Absolutely.
That's my worry about voting for somebody upwards 70s. Like, are we voting for grandparents, or are we actually voting for a president? What are we doing?
That's
absolutely
a great point.
When Pete Buttigieg was still in it, and Amy Klobuchar, the segment of the ages of the 40s and the 50s were going to be non-existent. So you had the 30s represented by Pete Buttigieg, and then you went all the way to 60 with Amy Klobuchar on voting day in November. So that 20 years, where are these people?
Yeah.
Business owners, smart people.
Yeah.
And now we've got 78.
Now you've got 78-year-old Bernie Sanders. I mean, Bloomberg was 78, so he was older than Joe Biden, 77. He's younger than both Bloomberg and Sanders. But now it's essentially just Sanders and Biden, and Biden's the younger of the two.
And can we agree
that,
you know, most presidents that go into office, they always show the before and after picture of they leave office.
How much it ages you.
Yeah, but Trump looks better. He looks better now since he's been, and I think that's just
that's because he's the first president that ever spray tans.
Come on now.
That's probably what's going on with him.
He's got a better tan.
So, the bottom line, Aaron, is that the Democrats are not backing away from their infringement on your Second Amendment rights. You know what I mean? That's not going to go away, and that is something that people need to really pay attention to when they are headed to the voting booth this year, and something I'm sure that we'll talk a whole lot more about. Another thing I wanted to ask you before we ran out of time was, we touched on this a couple weeks ago, but now that we've had some good weather, we've actually had some last couple weekends, especially on the last couple Sundays. It's been really nice outside. Get a chance to get, you know, out and about. Does that change what is being bought at the store? Like, does when the seasons start to change like this, do what your customers are coming to get from you start to change as well? And if so, like, what is hot right now at Southern Armory?
Ammunition. I tell you what, we have been just burning through cases of ammunition, and we've had a lot of people asking, especially on the forums that we're in, the local, like the local gun scene stuff, going, hey, where can I get bulk ammo? And I hear that over and over and over again. And I'm like, Southern Armory. We keep cases of ammunition in stock, and we give a case discount. Now that the big box store retailer's out, I don't know if it's just finally starting to hit home when these people have gone in and can't find the handgun ammunition, or they're just like, I always buy in bulk, or is it the nice weather and they're starting to kind of come out of the woodworks a little bit more? And I think that it's the weather breaking, honestly, with you, is one of the reasons we're seeing the upswing in ammunition purchases. So people are getting out there and shooting. And then on top of that, you know, the big box store saying, we're not going to sell ammunition for handguns anymore. And actually, my wife and I, we were at this big box store, and they had this, I've been looking at getting another Henry rifle, and they happened to have a Henry 44. And I said, hey, can I see that? And then, of course, I had to razz the guy because they didn't have the ammunition to feed it, and it was a rifle. So kind of a interesting little twist on things was they would sell you the gun, but they couldn't sell you the ammunition. And the guy was like, I don't know where to get ammo at. And I was like, okay, cool beans, man. With that being said, yeah, ammunition's definitely on the upswing. And then holsters are another item that, you know, we're getting into the warmer months, so people are not going to carry in the outside the waistband holster anymore. They're going to go to the inside waistband holster. So those are the two big items that you're going to see. You're going to see that you're going to need. And we carry those at Southern Armory, and we're happy to order any caliber that we may not have that may be an oddball, kind of an offbeat caliber. We'll find it. We'll order it for you. It's not a big deal. And then we're always happy to order cases. We can drop ship them right to your door so you don't even have to carry them. We sit on your porch waiting for you when you get home.
Great stuff. And always, you know, we talk about this every week, but it's something I think that listeners of the show should really check out. Southern Armory on Facebook. Aaron is on there a lot answering your questions and doing videos, tutorials, putting guns together, cleaning guns, all those different things. It's a great way to keep up with what's happening at Southern Armory. And also learn a lot of stuff and get your questions answered. So make sure you're checking out Southern Armory on Facebook. And I don't want to do your spiel. So how else can people find Southern Armory?
Yeah, so feel free to stop in and see us. We're open Tuesday through Sunday. That's 10 to 6, except on Sunday we're open noon to 6. We're located 1 mile east of 270 and 44 at 9901 Watson Road. And SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
And that is Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, who I think is going to be in studio with us next week. Am I right about that? Chad? Aaron? Yes. Nice. Good stuff. So thank you, Aaron, for joining us as you do every week at the beginning of the show. And we'll look forward to having you in studio with us next week.
All right. We'll see you all next week.
Sounds good. Have a good week. Yeah, you bet. You too. Also want a quick reminder. If you are listening to this show on Saturday, don't forget to spring forward your clocks tonight. And if you are listening to us on Sunday on KMOX you haven't moved your clocks, go look at your clocks and move them back. Or move them forward, excuse me, because it is daylight savings time. Thank goodness. I am so excited about having some sun in the evening.
It's been kind of weird having dinner during the daylight hours again.
Yeah, it's gonna. Now it's official. I hate standard time. I hate when it gets dark early. I am so much happier when the sun
is out. It's true. It's a real thing,
later.
Man.
It really, really is.
It is.
So, yeah, don't forget to set your clocks forward if you're listening to this on Saturday afternoon. That is coming tonight. Don't go anywhere. We have State Rep Nick Schroer coming up in a few minutes, and we are going to talk to Bob Leckrone. He's got a gun show coming up in Belleville next weekend, and we are going to talk to him about it when we get back on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I love this band. I swear, you surprise me, Chad, with the music. I don't mean to harp on this, but how do you even know what this song is?
I don't.
Random play.
I mean, no kidding.
So I'm always here like a little earlier than you guys. So I just go through like the music folder that I have that I've kind of like stole from the different
shows.
There you go. I stole your folder of music.
Please. Yeah, that's probably where you found that song.
It
I'm thinking,
it actually is.
That song is 20 years old.
Not yet.
There's no way. It wasn't a hit. There's no way Chad knows it. That's a great song.
Who is
Seven Mary Three.
Oh, of course.
Cumbersome and Water's Edge, those guys. Yeah. No, that's great stuff. Welcome back. Sorry. To Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with Bo Matthews and Chad Ellis. Big thanks to Aaron Tarlow for joining us in that last segment. Aaron starts the show with us every week. Want to remind folks about the podcast. You can listen to our podcast. We put two out every week. We put the show podcast out on Fridays, so you can actually download the podcast of the show before it even airs on the weekends. And then we put out our podcast exclusive on Mondays. There's lots of ways that you can get the podcast. I recommend the radio.com app, which is free. You download the radio.com app, you favorite the radio station, then you can stream the station 24/7. You can take advantage of the radio rewind feature, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. And again, all of it is absolutely free. In just a moment, we're going to talk to Bob LaCrone about his gun show coming up in Belleville next week. But first, got to tell you that this segment is brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They are a full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. They have been in business a long time, and due to their customer demand for their products and services and expertise, they have opened a new location on Manchester Road just east of 270. And tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory, razorbackarmory.com online.
Good stuff. And now, like I said, let's go ahead and bring Bob LaCrone into the conversation. I know that Bob, first of all, thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks for your time. How's it going?
Hey, quite well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. I know that you are traveling throughout the country, and you are coming to our parts here coming up in a week in Belleville, Illinois. Tell us about the gun show. Tell us about where you're at right now, and tell us about the show and what you guys are all about.
Well, we're scheduled to do Mattoon. And then next weekend on the 14th and 15th, we're scheduled to be in Belleville, and we are the largest shows in the state. We've grown from a little one-town show in Central Illinois until we cover all the southern part of the states, and we go clear as far as Bloomington. Belleville is the major show in the state, and has been for several years. Before the state laws kind of give us a shortage of dealers, it was at one time up to 500 tables. Now it's not quite that big, but it's still a very, very, very good show with a great assortment of firearms and knives, accessories. In fact, you'll see it all right there in Belleville.
Well, Bob, I've got a question for you, because the Illinois gun laws are a little more strict, or a lot more strict than Missouri. You encourage people to bring firearms that they no longer want or maybe want to trade. Can you talk about the legalities of, can somebody from Missouri come over to the Illinois show and purchase a firearm, or how does the legalities work for this show?
Oh, certainly. In fact, Missouri... I'm not really sure how Norm Coleman from Norm's Guns, he has a place here in Illinois, and he has been in Missouri for several years, and Norm does all the transfers at the show.
Oh.
Because right now we have to, Illinois residents have a 3-day wait on long guns as well as the handguns. So Norm does handle it. Missouri is welcome to come over, because actually, and they can buy, sell, and trade right there. But like I said, it's handled. I do not handle that part of it.
Sure.
Right there. And I'm quite sure Norm, he's very astute at it, and he does it very legally.
So Bob has the gun show coming to Belleville, like we said, next weekend on the 14th and 15th. Bob, if people come out to the show, what can they expect? Is it strictly firearms? If it is firearms, at all shapes and sizes, gear, accessories? What are all the things that you guys feature at your show?
Okay, well, if you're thinking about the farms, there's a great array of farms there, not only to buy, but sell and trade for. I mean, if you're ready to trade for that new gun, it'll be there. And there's a lot of guns in there. There's a lot of very collectible guns there. Some of the tables, it's like walking past a museum. You'll see guns that you may never even know existed.
That's really cool.
I love that.
That's
stuff.
Really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing about it is, and the knife dealers, fantastic group of knife dealers. And this is quite a big business anymore. There's a tremendous amount of knife collectors in all over the country. So one of the biggest knife dealers in the state, Chuck and Chris Leonard, they'll be there with their tremendous display. They call their group Bright Eye Knives, Bright Light Knives, and one of the finest displays you'll ever see anywhere, and it's all to buy, sell, and trade.
And do you have a lot of vendors that travel with you to all these shows? Like, do you have hunting guides that are selling vacations or hunting trips, that kind of thing?
There's nothing in Belleville, but last weekend in Bloomington, there was, there is a guy that comes to Bloomington that sells these, he sells boat trips, is what he does.
Right.
So, I think he's got a little yacht he takes them out on, so we do have him there, but we don't have anybody down there that does this. But there's all kinds of gear there. There's things that you won't see anywhere else.
Well, it's kind of like anything, that if you get people that are like-minded or are into the same kind of thing, whether it's the boat show or the motorcycle show or whatever, you get around people that are, you know, like-minded, and you strike up conversations with strangers, and guess what? Next thing you know, you got a new friend.
Hey, I sell them a gun first, and then the next move, I make a friend out of them. In fact, I enjoy people.
That's great stuff. Bob LaCrone, before we let you go, the Belleville Gun and Knife Show is happening this coming weekend, the 14th and 15th of March. I think it's at the Belle Claire Expo Center, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
That's exactly right. That's great. Website, social media, how can people get tickets if they want to be there? What are the times of the show? All the details so our listeners don't miss it.
Okay. Of course, Belleville, everybody knows where Belle Claire Fairgrounds is at. And that's when the show will be. This weekend, we've advertised, not on social media, but we advertised heavily on the radios, and it'll be well advertised all the state. And we have a secret weapon. We got direct mail. We send out thousands of postcards.
And once you get on the mailing list, you'll always get those, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's good.
And how much does it cost to get into the show, sir?
It is $6 to get in. Show hours are from 9 to 3, 9 to 5 on Saturday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and 9 to 3 on Sunday.
Great stuff. And you can buy, sell, and trade guns and knives and gear and accessories, all of it, right?
Right there.
Great
all
stuff.
In one spot.
All right, yeah. Bob. Well, thank you so much for your time today, and we hope that you have a great show in Belleville and continued success, and hope we talk to you again real soon.
Great. Good to talk to you guys, and we hope we talk to you again soon.
We'll do that for sure, Bob. Have a great show in Belleville. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Thank you.
You bet.
Very much.
All right, we have to take another break. Got plenty more show to go, though. We are going to talk to State Rep Nick Schroer. It is the Missouri legislative session in full swing. We talked a little national politics earlier. I want to talk a little more politics with Nick Schroer and also get some updates on what is happening here locally in the state of Missouri. It's another legislative session. It's an election year here as well. And we'll get all the latest from Nick Schroer when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo, Bo Matthews, and Chad Ellis with you. And joining us now on the phone, as I mentioned in that last segment, Nick Schroer, state rep from the state of Missouri, probably in Jeff City as we speak. Nick, how's it going, my friend?
Hey, I am just honored to be back on Second Amendment Radio this weekend.
We are honored to have you. Legislative session still in full swing. Have you been in Jeff City all week?
Yeah, actually, we just got back last night. So very, very full week, filled with a lot of Second Amendment stuff, a lot of pro-police stuff. And as of right now, we have sent over to the Senate. We've sent over to the Senate a piece of legislation that I amended, which would name the XFL Battlehawks, the official XFL team of Missouri. So a lot of actual good policy stuff going on. But then there's that, too.
Wow.
That's pretty good. The official XFL team of the state of Missouri. I'd imagine the Battlehawks have a stranglehold on. They're the front runner for that, I would have imagined.
They are, and they're opening up the upper bowl.
Yeah.
The next home game.
Yeah, there's some news there. The Battlehawks are opening up seats in the upper bowl of the Dome. Check this out. They've played two home games, the Battlehawks have. Those two games are the first and third most attended XFL games
for the league.
For the league.
Nice.
Yeah, the number one most attended game and the number three most attended game are both Battlehawks home games.
Tony, if you remember, many years ago, St. Louis was named the best sports city in America, and I believe we still are. Now we've got a football team to do it with.
Now we've got a football team, and they are supporting that team greatly, and it's a lot of fun to watch. You mentioned a lot of Second Amendment bills, a lot of pro-police bills. I want to get some information on those. I did want to ask you, though, Nick, off the bat, I don't think you guys handle this, but I know that the governor has weighed in on this, and I don't know if you guys in Jeff City are getting involved in this at all. The situation here in the city of St. Louis that has been a news story now for well over a year of the police chief and the mayor wanting to drop the residency restriction for St. Louis police officers. The St. Louis Police Department is down something like 200 officers. Yeah. It's like 170 officers down. And then if you count for the people that are out sick or injured, it's over 200 police officers not on the streets in the
city. Just in the city.
Just in the city of St. Louis. And the residency restriction certainly wouldn't, it's not a cure-all, but it would help tremendously with the shortage. Do you guys address that at all, or is that strictly a city issue that you guys don't really have any influence over?
Well, the mayor and the police chief and all of the public safety administrators out there actually were forced, their hand was forced to come to us this year because the aldermen out there in the city of St. Louis actually blocked a vote, blocked it from going to the people of Missouri, or the citizens of St. Louis, rather. It occurred over 20 years ago, the last time it came up for a vote. So with them number one for the second year in a row in the most deadliest cities in America, Kansas City's not too far behind them, but both of them have the residency requirement. Yes, this came through my committee, one of the committees I sit on judiciary a couple weeks ago. I attached an amendment to it, which, you know, I took all this testimony on why it's so good for St. Louis and how it's going to help recruitment, because yes, St. Louis has, I think right now it's 166 spots they need to fill. But then, yes, when you say the non-duty or off-duty individuals, whether they're sick, hurt, injured, PTSD, whatever that is, yes, it's over 200. So they need people badly. I've looked at several different studies, some of them commissioned by the police academy and police chiefs out in Kansas City, which have come to the realization in April of 2019 that in order to boost not only recruitment, but in order to boost the diversity for minority representation and women representation in the police force, get rid of the residency requirement. I put an amendment on that a couple weeks ago to expand that to the entire Kansas City area. There was some talk at the time that that actually could hurt the chances of the St. Louis part getting across. But in the weeks going through, we knew that that was the right decision. We put that back on the floor. I believe it might have been Wednesday when we had that talk. So it's going to come up again on Monday for a final vote to send it over to the Senate. But yes, this is something where we have a former police chief of Joplin, who's a state representative now. He was a police chief at the time when the big tornadoes hit a couple years ago, and he stood passionately on the floor talking about how there's so much research showing that these residency requirements do not work. They hurt the recruitment. Kansas City actually had to drop their passing rating for their testing to get into to, I think it was like 64%.
That's not the right way to go.
And on top of that, to make matters worse, they made it to where their substance abuse policy previously was, if you smoke marijuana within 2 or 3 years, then you can come on. Now they've allowed it to where you can use meth, cocaine, heroin, as long as you haven't done it in the past year or two, then you can come on.
Oh, my goodness.
They've got a lot of problems in this. I've had an influx, so many people from the Kansas City area since I put that amendment on, emailing me, calling me, thanking me, sending me their stories as to why this is not only needed, it's too many years too late.
Nick, how do we get recruitment up? Because is it just the fear because the police departments are so scrutinized and everybody's, you know, labeled a racist or whatever? How do we get past this, and how do we make sure that law and order is enforced?
So with the recruitment processes, one of the things that, especially this, the Lane Roberts, he's the state representative out in Joplin area. He's the former police chief, and he hit the nail on the head. We took testimony that basically illustrated the same thing. Is in the city of St. Louis, we have a huge problem where the prosecutors are not working with the police. So if you apprehend a criminal, go, and he's being let out by the prosecutors that are refusing to charge him, and then you run into him in Aldi's or Walmart, you know, because you live blocks away from him,
right,
living in the same area where you're patrolling. That is a huge problem. And we've heard stories of people that were let out, or their cronies, their friends, harassing the families of these police officers. Mm. We've had families that have grown, people that came in, they were single at the time. Now they have a family. They want to go and branch out. They want to get, take advantage of better schools, rural areas. They can't do that. So when you open the doors to the recruitment, and actually places like O'Fallon in St. Charles County, one of the safest, even Wentzville, safest cities in America, they're scooping up the best of the best.
Sure.
Because of what we're offering. And we don't have these archaic rules stifling the recruitment process. But as of right now, you know, these young guys that are coming out, they're already scrutinized. They don't want to live in one of the most dangerous cities and then patrol in one of the most dangerous cities as well, especially if they have a growing family.
I know Sheriff Marshak down in Jeff County, he said he's having a heck of a time trying to get recruitment up as well. It's across the board. And, you know, back when I was coming out of high school, my father, Air Force guy, said, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? I said, well, I was thinking about military. And, you know, because that's what you've done. And he goes, you're not military material. I said, well, how about a police officer? He goes, it's kind of the same thing. So if you're a young person and you're thinking, you know, military may be the way you want to go, hold on before you sign on the dotted line. Nothing against that choice, but how about policing your local community, or, you know, a nearby area, is what I would encourage, because we do need the best of the best. They set the standards on, you know, protect and serve. So I think the need is just out there so much.
Well, you know, and there's a huge need for helping in recruitment. There's been some talks in the body. I don't know if there's any bills on this, but in the legislative body, there's some talks on working with these police departments, working with the Department of Public Safety on helping get these bodies not only recruited, but actually getting them to the police academies.
Yes.
And I know when I was a criminal justice major before I made the decision to go to law school, I was going that route. And I knew that there were very few departments that were out there saying, hey, if you come in and do the testing standards and we like you, we'll actually send you to the police academy. Now there's less and less of them doing that. And if we can tap back into that, that seemed to work. That seemed to be something that former law enforcement and the lobby corps for the lobbyists think that would be one step in the right direction.
Former military would be good candidates, too.
Yeah, absolutely. What other, you said that there's a lot of Second Amendment bills that are being discussed in Jeff City right now. What are some of those headline bills, the ones that that you guys are working on right now?
So we sent out a committee, one of the bills, it was either late last week or early this week, the Keep Our School Safe Act, which would require one armed and trained. And it could be, we're allowing for, in my bill, something that we've never done in the state of Missouri, allowing us to tap into former military, former police, law enforcement, and the skills that they have and the training that our taxpayer dollars have already helped train them. That would require one armed and trained student resource officer in every building where students are present. That got voted out of committee and voted out of rule. So that should be on the House floor here in the next couple of weeks.
And in that bill, are you adhering to the task force? Are you taking all their recommendations into account when you wrote that bill? I know that there was a big task force appointed here in the state last year, and that was one of the things that they came up with that said, if you want to keep schools safe, put an armed resource officer in every school. There were some other details in that report. Did you use that as the basis of that bill?
Yeah, so I was working on this and trying to figure out how we can keep our students safe, how we can keep our kids safe. And right about that same time, the governor signed an executive order forming this school safety task force. Like you said, that's one piece of it where the governor's fully supported that. And even Auditor Galloway has come out saying, yes, we need to do this. Well, funny thing that the Michael Bloomberg group, Moms Demand Action, they are fully behind her, but they're not behind this bill. And I'll segue that into my next bill, which is was heard on Wednesday night. It is Blair's Law. It's related to the celebratory gun firing that you see individuals on 4th of July or Independence Day.
New Year's Eve.
It was it was insane. Crazy on New Year's this year.
Well, I think if you go in the archives of 97.1, I know Mark Cox put I think it was from Reddit, a video on Reddit where they tied Instagram and Twitter and all of these other social media platforms where people were videoing themselves, shooting these guns in the air. But a couple of years ago, there was a young lady, I think it was 18 years ago or so, a young lady. She was 11 years old at the time in the Kansas City area. And this is daylight. She was at a 4th of July celebration, was killed in a park because of one of these stray bullets. And what this bill would do is just, you know, we're talking gun safety. We're talking common sense, gun ownership. And for me and my Republican Party, that's the one thing is gun safety. You have to be a responsible gun owner. The NRA's fully backed this on what we're trying to do here. But Moms Demand Action did not come out in support of that bill. When you talk about common sense gun laws, myself and two Democrats from the Kansas City area that represent that area where the family was at the time, we're coming together to try to get this bill done.
So that's what would it do exactly? Would it make celebratory gunfire like that into the sky illegal? And if so, what would be the punishment?
So it's going to make it, and we're kind of working on that right now. I know a couple of years ago when this was originally filed, it got into the Senate, and it kind of went nowhere. Nobody was really pushing this. But growing up in Ferguson, Missouri, we had to live in the basement. We had to go into the basement or lay on the living room floor away from the windows during those times like 4th of July, Independence Day, or New Year's, things like that. What this would do is kind of change the language from that time where they were just still making it a misdemeanor. Myself, other Republicans in the committee, and even these two Democrats that are sponsoring this bill with me, we believe that this should either be a Class E or D felony because of how often these people are doing it with no regard for our own laws or human life. And the fact that that could likely get pled down with the prosecutors we're dealing with in St. Louis County, St. Louis City, and Kansas City.
That is State Rep Nick Schroer. Unfortunately, we are just about out of time on the show, but we are going to do some overtime with State Rep Schroer on the podcast exclusive. So make sure you download that every week. Don't forget, we offer two podcasts for Second Amendment Radio every week. We put out the show podcast on Friday. Then, of course, you can listen to the show on Saturdays and Sundays on 97.1 and on KMOX. And then on Mondays, we put out the podcast exclusive. You can get both of those podcasts in many different places, but I think the best place to get it is the radio.com app, which is free. Download the app, favorite the radio station, then you can stream the station 24/7, use the radio rewind feature, and you can download the podcasts. And again, all of it is absolutely free. So make sure you are downloading our podcast. Thank you so much. As Bo always says, too, share those podcasts with your friends. The last couple of weeks have been a lot of fun on that podcast exclusive. Last week, we talked hunting. The week before that, we talked fishing. This week, we're going to talk about some more of these bills and Second Amendment laws that are being debated in the state of Missouri with State Rep Nick Schroer. So definitely check that out. That's going to do it for this week. For my co-host, Bo Matthews, our producer, Chad Ellis, I am Tony Colombo. Thank you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo, Bo Matthews, and Chad Ellis with you. And joining us now on the phone, as I mentioned in that last segment, Nick Schroer, state rep from the state of Missouri, probably in Jeff City as we speak. Nick, how's it going, my friend?
Hey, I am just honored to be back on Second Amendment Radio this weekend.
We are honored to have you. Legislative session still in full swing. Have you been in Jeff City all week?
Yeah, actually, we just got back last night. So Very, very full week, filled with a lot of Second Amendment stuff, a lot of pro-police stuff. And as of right now, we have sent over to the Senate, a piece of legislation that I amended, which would name the XFL Battlehawks the official XFL team of Missouri. So a lot of actual good policy stuff going on, but then there's that too.
Wow.
That's pretty good. The official XFL team of the state of Missouri. I'd imagine the Battlehawks have a stranglehold on, they're the front runner for that, I would have imagined.
They are, and they're opening up the upper bowl.
Yeah.
The next home game.
Yeah, there's some news there. The Battlehawks are opening up seats in the upper bowl of the Dome. Check this out. They've played two home games,
yeah.
The Battlehawks have. Those two games are the first and third most attended XFL games
for the league.
For the league.
Nice.
Yeah, the number one most attended game and the number three most attended game are both Battlehawks home games.
Tony, if you remember, many years ago, St. Louis was named the best sports city in America, and I believe we still are. Now we've got a football team to do it with.
Now we've got a football team, and they are supporting that team greatly, and it's a lot of fun to watch. You mentioned a lot of Second Amendment bills, a lot of pro-police bills. I want to get some information on those. I did want to ask you, though, Nick, off the bat, I don't think you guys handle this, but I know that the governor has weighed in on this, and I don't know if you guys in Jeff City are getting involved in this at all. The situation here in the city of St. Louis that has been a news story now for well over a year of the police chief and the mayor wanting to drop the residency restriction for St. Louis police officers. The St. Louis Police Department is down something like 200 officers. Yeah. It's like 170 officers down. And then if you count for the people that are out sick or injured, it's over 200 police officers not on the streets in the
city. Just in the city.
Just in the city of St. Louis. And the residency restriction certainly wouldn't, it's not a cure-all, but it would help tremendously with the shortage. Do you guys address that at all, or is that strictly a city issue that you guys don't really have any influence over?
Well, the mayor and the police chief and all of the public safety administrators out there actually were forced, their hand was forced to come to us this year because the aldermen out there in the city of St. Louis actually blocked a vote, blocked it from going to the people of Missouri, or the citizens of St. Louis, rather. It occurred over 20 years ago, the last time it came up for a vote. So with them number one for the second year in a row in the most deadliest cities in America, Kansas City's not too far behind them, but both of them have the residency requirement. Yes, this came through my committee, one of the committees I sit on judiciary a couple weeks ago. I attached an amendment to it, which, you know, I took all this testimony on why it's so good for St. Louis and how it's going to help recruitment, because yes, St. Louis has, I think right now it's 166 spots they need to fill. But then, yes, when you say the non-duty or off-duty individuals, whether they're sick, hurt, injured, PTSD, whatever that is, yes, it's over 200. So they need people badly. I've looked at several different studies, some of them commissioned by the police academy and police chiefs out in Kansas City, which have come to the realization in April of 2019 that in order to boost not only recruitment, but in order to boost the diversity for minority representation and women representation in the police force, get rid of the residency requirement. I put an amendment on that a couple weeks ago to expand that to the entire Kansas City area. There was some talk at the time that actually could hurt the chances of the St. Louis part getting across. But in the weeks going through, we knew that was the right decision. We put that back on the floor. I believe it might have been Wednesday when we had that talk. So it's going to come up again on Monday for a final vote to send it over to the Senate. But yes, this is something where we have a former police chief of Joplin, who's a state representative now. He was a police chief at the time when the big tornadoes hit a couple years ago, and he stood passionately on the floor talking about how there's so much research showing that these residency requirements do not work. They hurt the recruitment. Kansas City actually had to drop their passing rating for their testing to get into I think it was like 64%.
That's not the right way to go.
And on top of that, to make matters worse, they made it to where their substance abuse policy previously was, if you smoke marijuana within 2 or 3 years, then you can come on. Now they've allowed it to where you can use meth, cocaine, heroin, as long as you haven't done it in the past year or two, then you can come on.
Oh, my goodness.
They've got a lot of problems in this. I've had an influx, so many people from the Kansas City area since I put that amendment on emailing me, calling me, thanking me, sending me their stories as to why this is not only needed, it's too many years too late.
Nick, how do we get recruitment up? Because is it just the fear because the police departments are so scrutinized and everybody's, you know, labeled a racist or whatever? How do we get past this, and how do we make sure that law and order is enforced?
So with the recruitment processes, one of the things that, especially this, the Lane Roberts, he's the state representative out in Joplin area. He's the former police chief, and he hit the nail on the head. We took testimony that basically illustrated the same thing. Is in the city of St. Louis, we have a huge problem where the prosecutors are not working with the police. So if you apprehend a criminal, go, and he's being let out by the prosecutors that are refusing to charge him, and then you run into him in Aldi's or Walmart, you know, because you live blocks away from him,
right,
living in the same area where you're patrolling. That is a huge problem. And we've heard stories of people that were let out, or their cronies, their friends, harassing the families of these police officers. We've had families that have grown, people that came in, they were single at the time. Now they have a family. They want to go and branch out. They want to get, take advantage of better schools, rural areas. They can't do that. So when you open the doors to the recruitment, and actually places like O'Fallon and St. Charles County, one of the safest, even Wentzville, safest cities in America, they're scooping up the best of the best.
Sure.
Because of what we're offering. And we don't have these archaic rules stifling the recruitment process. But as of right now, you know, these young guys that are coming out, they're already scrutinized. They don't want to live in one of the most dangerous cities and then patrol in one of the most dangerous cities as well, especially if they have a growing family.
Yeah, I know Sheriff Marshak down in Jeff County, he said he's having a heck of a time trying to get recruitment up as well. It's across the board. And, you know, back when I was coming out of high school, my father, Air Force guy, said, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? I said, well, I was thinking about military. And, you know, because that's what you've done. And he goes, you're not military material. I said, well, how about a police officer? He goes, it's kind of the same thing. So if you're a young person and you're thinking, you know, military may be the way you want to go, hold on before you sign on the dotted line. Nothing against that choice, but how about policing your local community, or, you know, a nearby area is what I would encourage, because we do need the best of the best. They set the standards on, you know, protect and serve. So I think the need is just out there so much.
Well, you know, and there's a huge need for helping in recruitment. There's been some talks in the body. I don't know if there's any bills on this, but in the legislative body, there's some talks on working with these police departments, working with the Department of Public Safety on helping get these bodies not only recruited, but actually getting them to the police academy.
Yes.
And I know when I was a criminal justice major before I made the decision to go to law school, I was going that route. And I knew that there were very few departments that were out there saying, hey, if you come in and do the testing standards and we like you, we'll actually send you to the police academy. Now there's less and less of them doing that. And if we can tap back into that seemed to work. That seemed to be something that, former law enforcement and the lobby corps for the lobbyists think that would be one step in the right direction.
Former military would be good candidates, too.
Yeah, absolutely. What other, you said that there's a lot of Second Amendment bills that are being discussed in Jeff City right now. What are some of those headline bills, the ones that that you guys are working on right now?
So we sent out a committee, one of the bills, it was either late last week or early this week, the Keep Our School Safe Act, which would require one armed and trained. And it could be, we're allowing for in my bill, something that we've never done in the state of Missouri, allowing us to tap into former military, former police, law enforcement, and the skills that they have and the training that our taxpayer dollars have already helped train them. That would require one armed and trained student resource officer in every building where students are present. That got voted out of committee and voted out of rule. So that should be on the House floor here in the next couple of weeks.
And in that bill, are you adhering to the task force? Are you taking all their recommendations into account when you wrote that bill? I know that there was a big task force appointed here in the state last year, and that was one of the things that they came up with that said, if you want to keep schools safe, put an armed resource officer in every school. There were some other details in that report. Did you use that as the basis of that bill?
Yeah, so I was working on this and trying to figure out how we can keep our students safe, how we can keep our kids safe. And right about that same time, the governor signed an executive order forming this school safety task force. Like you said, that's one piece of it where the governor's fully supported that. And even Auditor Galloway has come out saying, yes, we need to do this. Well, funny thing that the Michael Bloomberg group, Moms Demand Action, they are fully behind her, but they're not behind this bill. And I'll segue that into my next bill, which is was heard on Wednesday night. It is Blair's Law. It's related to the celebratory gun firing that you see individuals on 4th of July or Independence Day.
New Year's Eve.
It was insane. Crazy on New Year's this year.
Well, I think if you go in the archives of 97.1, I know Mark Cox put a I think it was from Reddit, a video on Reddit where they tied Instagram and Twitter and all of these other social media platforms where people were videoing themselves, shooting these guns in the air. But a couple of years ago, there was a young lady, I think it was 18 years ago or so, young lady. She was 11 years old at the time in the Kansas City area. And this is daylight. She was at a 4th of July celebration, was killed in a park because of one of these stray bullets. And what this bill would do is just, you know, we're talking gun safety. We're talking common sense, gun ownership. And for me and my Republican Party, that's one thing is gun safety. You have to be a responsible gun owner. The NRA is fully backed this on what we're trying to do here. But Moms Demand Action did not come out in support of that bill. When you talk about common sense gun laws, myself and two Democrats from the Kansas City area that represent that area where the family was at the time, we're coming together to try to get this bill done.
So what would it do exactly? Would it make celebratory gunfire like that into the sky illegal? And if so, what would be the punishment?
So it's going to make it, and we're kind of working on that right now. I know a couple of years ago when this was originally filed, it got into the Senate, and it kind of went nowhere. Nobody was really pushing this. But growing up in Ferguson, Missouri, we had to not live in the basement. We had to go into the basement or lay on the living room floor away from the windows during those times like 4th of July, Independence Day, or New Year's, things like that. What this would do is kind of change the language from that time where they were just still making it a misdemeanor. Myself, other Republicans in the committee, and even these two Democrats that are sponsoring this bill with me, we believe that this should either be a Class E or D felony because of how often these people are doing it with no regard for our own laws or human life, and the fact that that could likely get pled down with the prosecutors we're dealing with in St. Louis County, St. Louis City, and Kansas City.
That is State Rep Nick Schroer. Unfortunately, we are just about out of time on the show, but we are going to do some overtime with State Rep Schroer on the podcast exclusive. So make sure you download that every week. Don't forget, we offer two podcasts for Second Amendment Radio every week. We put out the show podcast on Friday. Then, of course, you can listen to the show on Saturdays and Sundays on 97.1 and on KMOX. And then on Mondays, we put out the podcast exclusive. You can get both of those podcasts in many different places, but I think the best place to get it is the radio.com app, which is free. Download the app, favorite the radio station, then you can stream the station 24/7, use the radio rewind feature, and you can download the podcasts. And again, all of it is absolutely free. So make sure you are downloading our podcasts. Thank you so much. As Bo always says, too, share those podcasts with your friends. The last couple weeks have been a lot of fun on that podcast exclusive. Last week, we talked hunting. The week before that, we talked fishing. This week, we're going to talk about some more of these bills and Second Amendment laws that are being debated in the state of Missouri with State Rep Nick Schroer. So definitely check that out. That's going to do it for this week. For my co-host, Bo Matthews, our producer, Chad Ellis, I am Tony Colombo. Thank you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.